Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast, still unnamed, on 929thegame.com. Bo Johnson, Brian Gebhardt here. And we've got news, BG.
Sort of
news.
Well, I thought you were talking about the name. But we've got other news that we're going to get to in a few minutes.
Now,
but
Knox Pardeen and the Crack legal staff are actually meeting as we speak to come up with a name, to approve a name for this here Fantasy Football Podcast so we can bring you more exciting content in the future and an more easily to reach page on the website.
They've been working on it for months.
It's
just tirelessly. That's the only thing they work on at the station is the name for this fantasy football podcast.
What's the most
podcast.
Important thing going on right now? So,
well, let's just
that
say
makes a lot of sense.
We've proposed, you know, maybe like 8 to 10 names that have all gotten shot down, but we really think this one's going to be great. It'll be an interesting Google search if it does happen. That's
It'll
the only
awesome.
Thing we can
yes.
tell you about right now. But we do have other news there, Bo.
We do. So we've got three pieces of news. We're bringing you this kind of emergency type podcast, not really an emergency. It's fantasy football.
So, it's an emergency.
Really, you know,
I mean, you have to know this information by August, so you better
for
learn
real.
It now.
So anytime we get a chance to nerd out and bring you fantasy content, that's what we're going to do. So anytime there's movement, we put down what we were doing, left our real jobs, and came to record fantasy content for you. So the three matters of subject that we're going to talk about today: Joe Flacco was traded to the Denver Broncos by the Baltimore Ravens. So I guess Case Keenum gets put on the back burner after they gave him a decent amount of money. Or Case Keenum's now Joe Flacco's backup, or Case Keenum's going to be traded or something. This is kind of a peculiar move, as Denver still just reaches out and goes and gets mediocre quarterbacks for their football team.
I have one thing written down here at the top of this little headline. Why? I mean,
yeah.
It was so uninspiring, and you're just sitting there, and I believe he's got like a $28 million cap hit.
The twilight of his career is probably putting it modest. I mean, he's got a, you know, it's not like he's one of these elite quarterbacks or into their 40s and, you know, we're wondering how much longer is he going to play at this elite level. He's not really, I'm in the Joe Flacco is not an elite quarterback conversation.
Oh, absolutely not. It's been years. Even at his best, he wasn't, and we're going to get into it in a minute. I mean, as far as fantasy goes, he was never a good fantasy quarterback.
No.
I mean, he was okay sometimes. Streamable, playable, which is probably what he'll be coming up this year. But you just look at it, and it was just such an uninspiring move. And this Denver Broncos quarterback situation has been musical chairs from the get-go. And
yeah.
And from the get-go of Peyton Manning leaving this team. And year after year,
from the
it's just
get-go
like,
of Elway being the GM.
Oh, man,
like,
it's just
Peyton Manning
it's a hot mess.
On the team was the only thing that he really did right as far as that position's going, and they continue still to just put Band-Aids on it.
Oh, yeah, and the Band-Aids just keep getting ripped off, and the wound seems to be getting bigger and bigger. So now you're going to overpay a guy who's really probably a similar talent as Case Keenum, and you got some numbers to go along with this, right?
So ESPN's Matthew Berry actually did the work for us, and he compiled numbers over the last 2 years, Joe Flacco versus Case Keenum. Case Keenum is actually the better quarterback on paper. He has almost a 90 quarterback rating versus an 82 or something like that for Flacco. His completion percentage is like 4 points higher at like 64 versus 60. You know, his downfield targets are more. I don't know if this moves the needle for you at all. It does not me. You know, you give Flacco maybe some better weapons with Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton, but it's not like I'm going to go out and draft him.
Yeah, that's
unless it's a super, super, super deep or Q2 quarterback league. I'm still leaving him out there in a two quarterback league, honestly.
And that's the one thing I'd say about Case Keenum. He's probably had the better talent over the last 2 years to deal with. I mean, as far as with the Vikings, he had Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. Then you talk about Sanders, Bebe Thomas, some of these newer guys they drafted, Deshaun Hamilton, Cortland Sutton. And that's going to be the interesting thing for me to keep an eye on as we head into this 2019 season as far as Flacco goes. Because the one thing he's always been good at is throwing a deep ball. So it's like, who becomes that deep ball receiver for him? Yeah. Is it going to be Deshaun Hamilton? Is it going to be Cortland Sutton? And that's the thing to keep an eye on from a fantasy perspective. But for the most part, it doesn't change a whole lot. He's still just a kind of a desperation waiver bye week fill-in
type
of guy.
At best.
Yeah.
Now, how about the Denver receivers? Does the needle move at all for you on Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton? You know, I still got Emmanuel Sanders as a top 20 receiver, maybe a third, fourth rounder. You know, Cortland Sutton behind that, and then Hamilton a late round flyer. I don't think that Flacco coming to this team is going to move any of them more than a spot or two.
No, I think Sutton's a better player than people realize, and maybe you know, he does become that deep threat guy. He maybe gets a couple more touchdowns under Flacco. That's the only thing I'd be interested in keeping an eye on. But this will be a defensive team, a run first team that's built around Philip Lindsay, his talents, and you know, spelling in Royce Freeman there as well.
And then on the Baltimore side of this equation, Lamar Jackson is now officially, they are fully invested in Lamar Jackson. We know this now officially. I mean, they kind of made it that way last year. But with Flacco gone now, Lamar Jackson is going to be the man in Baltimore. So where does that leave you with Lamar Jackson?
I think it's just great for the fact that he gets to come in a full offseason.
Yep.
And you saw his limitations in that Chargers game, whether it's his physical limitations or what the team did from a game plan standpoint, because the last couple minutes of that Chargers game, he was kind of slinging it around.
Yeah.
Granted, it was garbage time, but he was looking good, throwing some deep balls, throwing some passes. So if he gets a full offseason under his belt as the leader of the team, as the quarterback of this team, I think it's great for him moving forward. And he gets that little boost, in my opinion. He's someone that's definitely, you know, right on that fringe of late QB1 into the early teens. You know, he's someone that you can take a flyer on later to be your starting quarterback in fantasy.
He's a backup guy for me, top 15-ish talent. I love the guy in a two quarterback league. I love him as a backup quarterback on a fantasy team. Or if you're one of those guys like we both are that will wait on a quarterback, and then maybe you're with a league that snatches up all the good quarterbacks early. Maybe if you get stuck in quotes with Lamar Jackson, you don't hate that. You know, I love him as a dynasty stash. I actually have him in the dynasty that we're in together. It's going to be look like it's hopefully turns out to be a great pick. You love the running quarterbacks in fantasy as long as they stay on the field, because, you know, a point for a quarter of a point for 10 yards of passing versus a full point for 10 yards of rushing is the reason why Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, those guys are up in the top three of quarterbacks, top 3 to 5 every year.
And we'll see. I think it also gives the running backs a boost heading into the season, because to having a running quarterback to go along with that running game. I mean, I don't, whether it's Gus Edwards or Kenneth Dixon or whoever winds up being their main back there, I think in general you'll see those rushing yards over the course of a year be pretty solid, be pretty steady for this Baltimore team.
So we'll move on from the Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson conversation, only to pick it up and on a later episode of the Fantasy Football Podcast here on 99thegame.com. Bo Johnson, Brian Gephardt with you. We're going to move on to another scenario that's going on in the NFL. We're not going to bring the political views into it. We're not going to bring the anything but the fantasy relevancy of this move. And it's the Cleveland Browns have signed Kareem Hunt to a one-year deal. Although we have not seen what the suspension is going to be, he's still on the commissioner's exempt list, meaning he can't even be around the team. He can't practice with them. He can't break camp with them until the commissioner has levied out a fine or a suspension for Kareem Hunt. So I guess the question is, what does this mean largely for Nick Chubb? And then where do you maybe put Kareem Hunt as far as drafting, as far as a dynasty conversation, a one or two keeper league? You know, we no idea what the suspension is going to be, so this is a tough conversation. 6 games, 8 games, a full season?
I think
he's already missed, I think, 5.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 6, but I don't think that goes against his suspension because he was cut. So I don't think those games actually count towards anything.
Well, how many did he miss on the list before they cut him? It was 1 or 2 maybe? So even if it was none.
Well, they cut him right away because, remember, the news came out and it was like
an out.
And then
they put him on the suspension, the exempt list after he was
exactly.
cut.
Exactly. Right. So he's got to still serve a full suspension. I imagine it'll be 6 games. You know how the rules are just made up as we go in the NFL.
Ray Rice got 2 and then 4, and then, you know, for knocking his woman out.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady got 4 for Deflategate. So is he going to try to outdo the 4-game thing, and then maybe it comes back down to 4 with an appeal or something? It's kind of,
I think it's one of those, maybe it goes
starts
with 8
comes down
and
to 6
it goes
maybe?
Down to 6.
Yeah,
I would think 6 at a minimum, especially with the video that they have and all that stuff. But to get from what we're talking about from a football standpoint, it's a killer for Nick Chubb for season-long value, I think, in terms of he goes from being a top 10 certified RB1, a guy that you could pick and just roll with as your RB1 if you go wide receiver and quarterback early, or wide receiver or whatever you want to do in that type of a situation. And the thing is, you got to look at, all right, maybe you draft Chubb, maybe you've got Kareem Hunt as a handcuff and you keep him on your roster, or Chubb has a great first month and then you try to trade him, kind of a situation. Those are the type of things you have to look at, because while Chubb actually stepped up and played pretty well in the passing game this year compared to what we saw him do at Georgia, I think Kareem Hunt will be the third down back on this team when he comes back, and they're definitely going to share the workload. They're two really, really talented running backs. They're two of the top 15 talent-wise running backs in the league.
I don't know, for me, if it moves the needle on Nick Chubb a whole lot, seeing as how we don't know how long the suspension is going to be. Let's assume that it's 8 games. With Kareem Hunt not able to participate in any training camp or any practices until he's off the exemption list. Now, if he's suspended, I guess maybe he does, or he can.
We don't know. As the rules get made up.
So you
as
can
we
look
go.
At least half the season, we assume that Nick Chubb's going to be the guy. I think in Dynasty, it maybe affects Chubb more if Cleveland keeps Hunt. Now, it's only a 1-year deal, which is kind of strange.
It is a little strange.
I guess maybe the Browns want to see what the suspension is going to be, how a play is coming out of it, at that point being out of the league for a year, if it's a half a season, and then maybe they re-sign him next year. This does have the potential to be like a boom and zoom 2.0, like an Ingram Kamara situation, where you can draft and play both of them. Mm-hmm. You could even start both of them if you have them both on your fantasy team. I think they have that kind of potential, as they both catch balls out of the backfield. Hunt's more the Kamara role. Chubb would be more the Ingram role. It works in New Orleans. It could work, I think, in Cleveland. But as far as a redraft league this year, I don't think it's going to hurt Nick Chubb a whole lot. If you want to take a flyer on Kareem Hunt, maybe late, he could be there and ready for the playoffs. Once they get later on in the season, Nick Chubb could get some rest for Kareem Hunt. We'll see. But a late round flyer at best. I still got Nick Chubb in the second round. I wouldn't mind having him as my RB1.
See, that's the problem for me. Because if you go in and you draft somebody as an RB1, you expect them, not that you want to, draft your whole team around the fantasy playoffs, but he's a guy that this is what most likely will happen, or I think what's going to happen. You draft Chubb, he is going to be great for a month, 2 months, then his numbers start to slow down. He'll still be the primary back, even if it's split. It'll be 60-40, something along those lines. But like you talked about, Ingram Kamara kind of a situation. I just don't want a guy that I spent this draft capital in the second round to wind up being, just kind of another guy, like basically a flex play when I draft him as an RB1, come, weeks 10 through 16, when it really matters, when you're trying to get into the playoffs, when you're trying to win the championship. So I don't think, it is one of those situations where if Kareem Hunt comes in, he plays well, does all that, they're not going to spend money on another running back, so he will go elsewhere. So I think it affects more of his individual, his single season outlook than his dynasty outlook, in my opinion, because I don't think Kareem Hunt will stay there long term if he only signed a 1-year deal.
So I think a half season of Nick Chubb, even if that's what it is. Maybe
half Chubb for you next year.
Half Chubb. Maybe if you go, maybe if you go for Kareem Hunt late in the draft, if you get Chubb early, as some insurance, or maybe, as a backup. We'll see. Hopefully, going into the fantasy season, we at least know what the penalty is going to be, and it's going to be a little bit easier to have this conversation.
And you brought up a good point a little bit ago, as far as we don't know when he. Chances are the NFL will make a decision on this sooner rather than later, because they don't want this to drag, even though they've had situations like this drag. But we know that they work based on what happened in the past. So I imagine him getting the suspension before OTAs, so he doesn't have a chance to do OTAs, to do training camp, get that opportunity to do any of that stuff. And all of a sudden he hasn't done any football activities, and it's the middle of October next year. And that could be the situation where you're like, all right, how much work is this guy going to really get? Where it might be more something like you're talking about there, Bo.
So Kareem Hunt in a dynasty, let's say it's 8-9 players, something like that, or a true dynasty, you keeping him? Is he going to take up a roster spot? Now, it's going to depend on the construction of the rest of your roster, obviously. But just off the top of your head, are you keeping him in a dynasty?
Probably not.
At 23 years old?
It depends on what you said. It depends on the roster. If I'm thin at running back, sure, but I would try to trade him to someone who values him more.
I think I keep him in an 8 or 9 player keeper dynasty, like a true dynasty format. I think I keep Kareem Hunt. You got to love the talent of the guy still. He catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. That's huge in a PPR. You know, in a 1 or 2 keeper league, absolutely not. If Kareem Hunt is going to be your keeper in a 1 or 2 keeper league, your team's got some problems. And maybe you should reevaluate your own talent as a you've got to have a better player that's at least going to be there at game one in a 1 or 2 keeper. But I think that in a dynasty, I'm hanging on to Kareem Hunt. And I might even reach out to the Kareem Hunt owner and try to make a trade for him.
So you should do that in our league that we're in the dynasty league together. Because I know off the top of my head, my cousin's got the team with Kareem Hunt, but he also has Zeke Elliott and Alvin Kamara. That's his backfield right now.
I wonder if he'd be interested in like a Matt Ryan for Kareem Hunt type. Who's his quarterback?
I forget. No, he's got Andrew Luck. So you're
well, backup for backup.
You're
there you
S go. Out of luck there. So we'll see.
So our last piece of news as far as players go, AB comes out, Antonio Brown officially on social media, tells Pittsburgh it's been real, throws up the peace sign. Officially demanding or asking for a trade away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, that's no guarantee that this is going to happen, but it seems like AB's nut days in Pittsburgh are numbered. So where does this put you with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster moving forward?
Well, before we get into where Antonio Brown, some of the best landing spots, his outlook, Juju is a locked-in top 10 wide receiver to me now. He enters that conversation of, you know, after we talked last podcast, Devonta Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas are kind of our wide receiver rankings. He's in that next group of guys, in my opinion, with Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, you know, the Mike Evans, guys like that. He's in that second tier, but really the first tier where you're taking him, you know, second, maybe
late first round.
I mean, maybe
early
even late
second.
First round. And for as far as dynasty pick goes, he's probably the number one wide receiver taken. If not, if not, definitely top three because of his age. He's 22 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it turning 22 this season, or is he already turned 22?
I forget.
He was young.
I feel like he gets
young.
I think he goes Benjamin Button on us because he just gets younger and younger, that guy. I look it up. I'm like, oh, look.
So
he
we'll bring Juju into the conversation here, and we go over a few more keeper scenarios for you. So what about Antonio Brown? Is the needle moved at all for Antonio Brown? Is he still in that first tier of wide receivers, or is he more in that second tier with Juju, maybe Julio?
Again, depends on the landing spot. We talked about this a little last time. I've got some, I mean, like everybody's got their list out there of best destinations. If he winds up with the 49ers, I still see him as an elite wide receiver. The top 5 days for me, for him, are over.
Yeah.
Just because when you switch teams and do all that type of stuff, but he's still a back end, mid to back end wide receiver one. If he goes to any of these teams, in my opinion, 49ers, Colts, Packers. I think those are the three destinations for him. Those would all have good quarterbacks. He would have good quarterback, good system without an elite wide receiver for the 49ers. For the Colts, you go good quarterback, great offensive line, it looks like, from what they showed last year, and you get to play opposite of T.Y. Hilton. That would be exciting to see.
That's a good thing if you're Antonio Brown.
100%.
And it's great for fantasy, too. They won't take receptions away from each other. They will be the reason why they both get more receptions.
Yeah, Andrew Luck can stop throwing to tight ends like 15 times a game. We can get past.
I think that would definitely hurt his tight ends outlook for next year.
I'm tired of seeing Andrew Luck throw touchdowns.
I had to put my money on, I would say San Francisco. That's where he has been vocal about going and playing. So you put Antonio Brown on the same team as Marquise Goodwin. Goodwin's more the deep threat guy anyway. Antonio Brown turns into a possession receiver, which he's done a great job at with some deep ball prowess, but he's really a possession receiver that runs great routes. He's got quickness. He doesn't have a whole lot of size, but he hasn't needed it. He can catch the football wherever it's thrown to him. So,
and don't forget about George Kittle and Pettis. I mean, that's all of a sudden
with Jimmy G being healthy,
a really nice wide receiver core. And Kyle Shanahan obviously is the coach, offensive mastermind. He does like to pepper his top wide receiver with targets, which will be Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
If given that situation, what other teams do you think would be like an interesting landing spot?
I think
spot
San Francisco would be the best case scenario for Antonio Brown. I love the conversation about the Colts. I have seen some social media polls out there, and I don't know how likely this would be given the cap space. I have seen some social media polls out there saying Antonio Brown should go to New Orleans. And then I've also seen a couple of comments about him coming right here to Atlanta to play alongside Julio Jones, which is another team with not a lot of cap space and many other worries on the offseason than another wide receiver. So I don't really see either of those happening.
I feel like the Saints find money under the mattress sometimes, because I don't know how they work their cap, how they do certain things. I'm not sure what goes on down there in the Bayou.
But. It's the organization and the way that the way that things are run in some organizations. You will have players that will gladly take either a pay cut or defer money. Some organizations, you do not have that. Look at how the Patriots are constructed. Tom Brady consistently every year defers money, and he's going to be Bobby Bonilla-ing it for the rest of his life, probably, where mm-hmm. there are a lot of players that want their money now and will not do something like that. That is a tip of a cap to how the organization is run when these teams with $1 million in cap space keep signing free agents and making trades.
Couple interesting names, and we'll get to some keeper scenarios coming up here in just a minute. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Podcast, hopefully with a new name soon on 929thegame.com. Brian Gephardt, Bo Johnson. The Browns are really interesting. Granted, same division, so you're like, but to give Baker Mayfield a true outside threat, because Jarvis has always been, has always been the solid slot receiver. You know, they look like they might have a tight end. That would be really fascinating to me if he wound up there. And two places where I've seen it linked to, and it's really more money-wise than anything, that I think would be colossal failures, but he would also be given the chance to be the number one, is the Raiders and the Jets. But you're just
what I was thinking. What do you think about AB possibly linking back up with Le'Veon Bell on the New York Jets? Where would that put the Jets in the AFC? I think they still finish 8-8 or somewhere around that. The Patriots still win that division next year, but it could be interesting.
I hope that happens, because I love when the Jets are miserable. So I would, and I think it would just be pure entertainment standpoint as far as the New York Post headlines, things of that nature. If you saw both of those guys go to the Jets,
wouldn't that be something? That's a likely scenario.
I know, and that would just be, you could just light the team on fire.
I don't know what the Jets have to offer the Steelers outside of draft picks, but they always have high draft picks.
Yeah, they always have high draft. So, I think they got the number 3 or 4 pick this year, so we'll see.
So let's get into some keeper scenarios here, and I've got a few for you that center around Nick Chubb, because you think in a redraft league that his value is going to be hurt by this Kareem Hunt thing. I don't necessarily think that it will be. But in a one or two keeper, and you have both these guys on your roster because it is possible, who are you keeping out of Nick Chubb or David Johnson?
I'm picking David Johnson now, because I don't know how that situation is going to work out. We've talked a lot since the offseason has come, and even last podcast, about David Johnson had this bad season, but he still wound up with like 1,300 yards.
He was still like number 7 overall,
he was still
running back.
Really good. And he couldn't be any worse unless he gets injured. So I'm going to go David Johnson in that situation. I also think he's better in the passing game, so PPR, I think he gives you a boost.
All right, so how about his fellow Georgia running back, Sony Michel?
I'm going to stick with Nick Chubb
both
in this situation.
Both great dynasty stashes.
Both great. But I'm going to stick with Chubb just because the Patriots, you never know what they're going to do at running back from game to game. You still got James White involved. You still got Rex Burkhead involved. I could see them signing whoever, some other random running back, and they're just never going to have a year where, like, Sony's not going to have that chance to get 1,500 rushing yards and 12 touchdowns. No,
I mean, look at the Patriots' playoff run and how much they use Sony. Look at how they're kind of shaping their game now with Tom Brady aging. I kind of like Michelle in that situation because he's on the better offense. I think the Patriots are moving towards that. And even if with James White there, you've got a similar situation in Cleveland if you have Kareem Hunt ever play for that team. I'm taking the guy on the better offense in that situation. I think Sony Michel is probably the more dynamic player, Nick Chubb being the more north-south guy. You know, it's really kind of a coin toss.
Yeah, the Patriots are they're a chameleon. I mean, they change week to week, year to year. They could come out next year and just be like this high-flying passing offense and find another wide receiver. I think it was just the way that this team was built, because they like to change throughout the season. And as they got into December and January, they go, you know what? Let's just be a power running team, because that's our best way to win. And they wound up winning the damn thing. But I don't think Michelle's that type of guy who's going to get 250, 300-plus touches a year and have that opportunity. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to be really solid. Excuse me. But I don't think he's going to have that opportunity to be like an elite top 5 running back, in my opinion.
Although I kind of have a different opinion about it. So we'll see how that one pans out. So how about Nick Chubb or Mark Ingram, who is a free agent as of right now, has not re-signed with the Saints yet. Lots of rumors and potential landing spots for Mark Ingram if the Saints don't re-sign him. As of right now, Who would you be keeping, Mark Ingram or Nick Chubb?
Chubb, mainly because of age. They're very similar type of running backs, but I think Chubb will just – and he, we know a little bit more about his role as of right now because obviously we don't know where Mark Ingram's going to wind up. It makes sense if the Saints can bring him back and kind of keep that two-headed monster going for a couple of years, but I would go with Ingram.
I agree with you there. Chubb. Nick Chubb is at least the RB1 on his own team. Mark Ingram would be the RB1A or RB1B if he comes back to the Saints. Now, if he goes to a team like the Jets or something like that who need – we're in desperate need of a running back one, that conversation might kind of shift. I don't know, in a redraft league. Now, in a dynasty, obviously it's going to be Chubb, given he's probably 8 years younger than Mark Ingram is. But it's an interesting conversation.
Is that the last for those? I know you had a couple of those
For the Nick Chubb piece of that conversation,
All right, I'll start you off with, and I'm pretty sure we didn't do this one last time, but if we did, whatever, you're hearing it again. Cam Newton or Baker Mayfield?
Redraft or dynasty?
Well, both. Give me both.
So, I think in a redraft league, I got to go Cam.
Okay.
But you got the surgery. The surgery kind of gets you there. I got to go Cam because his legs are still fine. Now, he's never been the most prolific passing quarterback in the league, but if Cam can get to 150, 200 yards, but still splashes in 40 rushing yards a game, I like Cam over Baker right now. In a dynasty, I'm probably going to go Baker.
I would go Baker in both. Yeah. I'm worried about Cam, and I have Cam, and I actually have this situation in that same dynasty league we talked about a few minutes ago. I also have Carson Wentz floating in the mix there too.
Wow!
So I'm trying to figure out what's what.
All kinds
so
of stuff floating around.
If you still, like,
if you still
like Cam and want him, come talk to me. But I just like Baker's upside. I think he's going to take that next step. He had a really good rookie season, and I'm interested to see what he does moving forward. I hope Cam's okay because I enjoy watching him play. But man, that shoulder. There's a good chance he's going to have to sit out part of this year, or if not the whole year.
See, and if that ends up happening, obviously it's going to be Baker Mayfield. No, keep Baker Mayfield in the conversation. Let me throw a couple more at you. How about Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo, or Lamar Jackson?
I'm going Baker.
Yeah?
I just like Baker, man. I just think what we saw from him this year and just that Browns team taking the next step, the fact that Freddie Kitchens, his offensive coordinator, is now his head coach, I think is just kind of good vibes there. You're adding a guy like Kareem Hunt. It's just another year under that offensive system.
Well, assuming Kareem Hunt even plays, you know, I don't know that we can assume that
adding a piece, you know.
A piece for the bench.
And, yeah, I think it's close between Baker and Jimmy G because Jimmy G's still.
And what if AB goes to San Francisco?
Still a what if. Redraft 100% Jimmy G in that situation. I
gotta go to Garoppolo in both situations there.
I'm gonna go Baker
again just because I like the offense better.
I'm gonna go Baker in a dynasty. I'm gonna go Jimmy G in a redraft league.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. My next up here. They're kind of like the same wide receiver to a certain degree, in different ways. But Amari Cooper, someone we talked about a ton this past year, or T.Y. Hilton, redraft and dynasty.
I got to go Amari Cooper in both because I think that we saw how Dallas plans to use him in the second half of the season when he got traded to the Cowboys. They actually took advantage of his skill set. You know, did they re-up on his contract yet? Because I know he's due.
No, but he's going to get.
Jerry Jones
get the
came
money.
Out and said that he's going to pay the guy, or some. He made some kind of comment like that.
When you trade a one for somebody, and he's coming up a year, and he produced, there's no way he's not going to get his money.
So I like the skill set is very similar. I like Amari Cooper in both formats, just because I think I like the Colts quarterback better. But Amari Cooper is younger. He's more dynamic, I think, maybe than T.Y. at this point in both their careers. He's got some years on him, so that makes the dynasty conversation that much easier. I'm going Amari Cooper there. You look at the monster games he had down the stretch for the Dallas Cowboys. He did have a couple duds, but every wide receiver is going to have those. You know, but when he was on, he was on. You know, and the Oakland Raiders is just a shame they could never use him right. I think the Dallas Cowboys were able to figure that out, and you just throw the guy the freaking ball.
See, I would go T.Y. Hilton in a redraft. Yeah. I think, like you said, Amari Cooper is kind of a no-brainer in a dynasty league just as far as the age and the opportunity. But just like what the Colts have done at the offensive line, and if they don't add a wide receiver, even if they draft a wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton is still the number one wide receiver in a really good offense with a really good quarterback and what seems to be a really good offensive line. I just trust that whole situation more. And the reason they're kind of similar wide receivers is because they miss games for different reasons. And not that Amari Cooper misses games for injuries, but he misses games for just not showing up, whether it be doesn't get the targets, doesn't get the catches, whatever that might be. And T.Y. Hilton gets banged up a little bit more, definitely an older guy, but I like T.Y. Hilton in general more than Amari Cooper for the 2019 season.
All right. So here's one for you. We talked about Juju Smith-Schuster. So let me give you one let me give you a one or maybe even a couple of receivers that are sitting right there in that same little tier of receivers. You go on Juju Smith-Schuster or Odell Beckham Jr.
Man, that's tough. That's tough.
OBJ's 26, Juju's 22, 23. I forget which one it is. Let's see if we can figure that out real fast.
Oh, man. I would go Juju definitely in a dynasty league. I think the redraft is the hard question.
So, yeah, Juju turns 23 in November. He is 22 still.
It is one of those things where, like, he's 20. I mean, he's still got six years of prime.
Well, as a receiver, he's got probably closer to 10, maybe 8 or 9, as receivers don't wear down like running backs do.
See, the interesting thing.
And all of a sudden fall off of a cliff.
You know, we talk about Antonio Brown leaving, and he said goodbye to the Steelers fans on Twitter and all that, so that's happening. But I still think there's a very good chance that OBJ gets traded this offseason. And I think...
Wow, and this is coming from a Giants fan, so there should be some insight there.
In a perfect world, I think the Niners want OBJ over Antonio Brown, given his age, given how much longer they could have him matched up with Jimmy G. I think they're going to try to do that. So obviously, if that happens, I would pick OBJ over Juju. But going into next year, I think it's got to be Juju. Just the way that the Steelers, they have a really good offensive line. Big Ben likes to air it out. And Juju's clearly going to be the number one wide receiver. I just don't know, you know, what you're going to get from Eli Manning, the consistency from OBJ. Like, if they go into this 2019 season on these teams in the situations that we're thinking they're going into, I'm probably going to go Juju. That is insane.
That's a tough one, man. Crazy.
That's a good one, though. That's why we have these conversations.
And, you know, I started out that because OBJ very well might be the number one wide receiver overall in a dynasty, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Juju might be there, too, which is why it's such an interesting discussion.
They're probably one, too, and your boy Thomas. Those are probably the top three.
And then, you know, Nuke Hopkins is pretty young also. If you had any of those guys.
We'd have to check that out in a minute. He's older than those guys, I think, in a
dynasty situation, you're not going to be hurting by. But I think just because of the fact that he's 22 years old, I think he might have to go with Juju. Now, you got an aging quarterback in Pittsburgh. You got an aging quarterback on the Giants. Uh-huh. You know, you got a young quarterback who's just now played a full season with his number one receiver in Houston.
Who would you go redraft then between OBJ and Juju, assuming that they're on
this
the
year, yeah. Assuming that Eli's the quarterback and assuming Ben's the quarterback and everything stays the same? In a redraft?
I know. This is tough.
They both have young, good running backs, too, so the offense can be dynamic.
Yeah. Well, it's like Barkley's a much better talent than Connor, but the Steelers' offensive line is much better than the Giants, so you have to kind of balance those things out. And the Giants probably have better receiving weapons outside of OBJ compared to the Steelers. So it's, man, that's interesting.
I don't know, man.
Who you got? You got to choose.
In a redraft?
Yeah.
I think I might have to go. You're on the clock right now.
I might have to go Juju, man. Three.
Honestly.
I know. It's wild. All right. What, are you looking up an age right now?
I'm looking up the age for Nuke Hopkins real fast.
All right. It feels like he's 32, but he's absolutely not. He just feels like he's been in the league that long.
He's 26. He's the same age as OBJ. Damn. I think they actually came in the same year.
He seems like he's got more wear and tear, but he's also much more consistent of a player. So who knows?
I would probably take Nuke Hopkins over both of those players in a redraft.
How many more scenarios you got? I got two more to give you.
I got one more, and it's a quarterback. No, actually, we already went over. I've got one more, and it's another running back, Kareem Hunt or Darius Geis.
Geis. You got to go Geis because he's got the chance to be the number one right out of the gate for the Redskins. No one knows any idea what's going on with their quarterback situation because Alex Smith is going to be out for the year. They're probably going to have to draft somebody or at least have some sort of plan. But the Redskins should be a run-first, decent team that's going to compete. And Geis will probably be their best offensive player, to be honest with you, once you really think about it. So I would
now,
go
this
Geis.
Is a player that tore his ACL in camp, so should be ready to go. But we have not seen him step on an NFL field, not once.
No, that's true. That's true. But Kareem Hunt, there's too many questions with it.
So you think Geis, I mean, I guess we'll see more going into training camp, but Geis could be, you know, still drafted early, I guess, second, third round maybe. Or
someone's going to talk themselves, especially if he has a good, you know, one or two good preseason games and they read the reports, oh, he looks so fast in camp and like all that stuff. I think his hype train is going to step up big time there. All right, two quick ones for you. Running back. This one's real interesting to me. I'm still not sure which one I would pick. Derrick Henry or Aaron Jones?
Even though Derrick Henry had like a couple of 400-yard, five-touchdown games toward the end of the season, I got to go Aaron Jones. You got to assume Aaron Jones is going to be the starter next year in Green Bay. You know, we don't know that about Derrick Henry, although we should. Deion freaking Lewis is still going to be there, and I don't know that they're going to waste as much time with Deion Lewis next year as they did this year. But Derrick Henry seems to be like the guy, if one of them was going to get hurt, the big-bodied guy, the north-south runner guy is in the one that's more probable to succumb to injury is going to be Derrick Henry. So give me Jones.
I'm probably going to go Henry, as much as I've just banged the drum for Jones. Yeah, because unlike the Patriots.
I also like the Packers offense better too.
That's very true. Mike Vrabel, a Patriots disciple, the Patriots can't be duplicated in the sense of changing from week to week. And I think he found something with Henry at the end of the year and kind of was like, duh, I should have been doing this all season long, feeding Derrick Henry. You can't trust Marcus Mariota's health. You can't even trust Corey Davis' health. They're their number one wide receiver. Yeah. You got a tight end in Delanie Walker who's coming off a season-ending injury. So you got all of those factors where this team needs to come in next year because they've got a pretty good defense and just say, hey, we need to be a run-first, play-action type of team. And I think you'll see that a little bit more. The thing with Derrick Henry is he is non-existent in PPR situations as a pass catcher. He just doesn't do any of that. And I think Jamal Williams showed enough for the Packers where he's going to spell him. So I'd probably go Derrick Henry.
Interesting.
It pains me to say it. All right, last one for you, and we'll wrap up here. Tight end. We haven't done too many tight end situations or any at all, I believe. But Evan Ingram or Trey Burton?
Let's see. Wow. You know, that's a super coin toss right there.
Yep.
And is Eli still good?
He's still there. Unfortunately, yes, Bo, he's still there.
I'm going, give me the up-and-coming rookie quarterback that we know has an arm to get the ball down the field, that can stretch the field a little bit. Trey Burton's got a little bit of speed. He's not like your typical tight end. Evan Ingram isn't either. I guess you're asking me if I want to pick Trubisky over Eli. It's kind of the question here. So give me Trubisky.
I guess. I mean, I hear you.
It's a tight end. So.
I hear you. I'd probably go Evan Ingram.
I don't think either one of them are going to be world beaters, and you're not going to go wrong with either.
The thing with Trey Burton, he was really good for the first half of the season in 2018, and then he just kind of fell off. And then Ingram had this great rookie season and then didn't do anything this past year, injuries, all this type of stuff. But I think Ingram's the better talent. So I'd probably go Ingram. I'd go Ingram redraft. I'd go Ingram both. Ingram in both. Yeah, but it is a coin flip situation.
I think I'd
situation.
Probably go Burton, you know, and I don't think you're gonna. I mean, it's a tight. I don't even like talking about tight ends. It's just
but
so dirty.
It's a necessary evil. It is a necessary evil. And you could. I wish you guys could. We might have to do some sort of video podcast at some point because when we asked each other these keeper questions, it's like
we most definitely
this
will
anguish.
Once
face
we get a name,
yes,
we can go on to Facebook Live and do some stuff.
Hopefully, the next time we talk to you, which we have no idea when that will be, we'll.
If there's another trade or some movement next week, we will bring you that information next week. So as soon as there is movement, we will be coming back at you. We'll definitely be coming back at you before and after the NFL draft, but that's still another 2 months away. So. I want to thank you for joining us today on this short little quickie pod. Bo Johnson, Brian Gebhardt on 92.9 The Game. Any closing remarks?
Talk to you soon, guys.
Cheers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.